This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Alexa, Simon says, shut the fuck up, Robert.
Shut the fuck up, Robert.
She beeps it. I didn't know that.
Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Bienvenidos a las dos, Bobs. Me llamo Rob.
You may almost Robert, and you're listening to episode 63 for Monday, May 7th, 2018.
This week on the Two Bobs, we have an exciting episode for you. We're going to talk about the beer we're drinking, a follow-up to our peanut butter and jelly saga.
Some people are sensitive about how others talk to their digital assistants, and this week we've got another double dose of crazy news stories.
I feel like we should start recording our podcasts and then recording again in all Spanish. Only we'll just, since we don't really, either of us really know Spanish, we'll use Google Translate and then we'll see how it turns out.
I'm sure there's some little box that you can talk into, or I can maybe upload the file somewhere and have it translated. I don't know if I want to pay for that service at this stage of our show, even over a year in. I think that's probably more money than we're willing to spend on this little venture we've got.
Yeah. And I venture to say the vast majority of our listeners understand English just fine. So
I would hope so. Whether they're like us and can't really speak it that well, but I think at least understand it.
Yes. Well, that is true. So we are a weekly podcast here, but
yes,
even as a weekly podcast, sometimes we just need a week off, or we just have to take a week off.
We got shit to do.
Yeah. So next week, big news, guys, no show next week.
I know you're all disappointed, but yeah, there's stuff that's come up. Not going to be able to get the time in to be able to record it. So we will be back for episode 64 on Monday, May 21st. But we will have the phone lines open. So if you want to leave us a voicemail or send us a text, you can certainly do that. And that number is
530-882-BOBS. That is 530-882. You tried to fucking catch me. 2627. Got it.
You were doing what I usually do. You were kind of looking around like you were either reading something, and that's usually when I can catch you off guard. Because last week, I don't even know if I edited that out of. I think I left it in the episode where I just basically lost track of where you were because I was trying to read ahead to something else.
there was one part where I noticed you did that, and then there was a. Well, I mean, shit. Let's face it. Especially later in the episode, there's always a couple of parts where like either. It's just evident that I'm not really 100% listening. And my favorite times are when I actually repeat something you've already said.
Well, we've both done that. Yeah. And I don't know. I think that's a lot of the fun, just kind of leads to some of the personality of who we are. And I think that's just what's going to happen when you've been drinking a beer, especially some of these Imperials we've had last couple of weeks.
Speaking of Imperials, let's get right into the beer. May not know this, but I have an Imperial this week.
I do too.
Well, it's actually,
what do you have?
Well, it's technically not an Imperial, but it's a bourbon barrel age. So I found another gem from Founders. So Founders has a whole bourbon, like a barrel age series of beers. So the KBS that I had last week is part of that, which is very quickly turned into one of my favorite, if not my favorite beer. But this one that I happened upon actually in the same spot I got the KBS, I found yesterday as I was just stopping in just to grab a couple of beers and, pick this one up right here. And this is the Backwoods Bastard Ale Aged. Let's try that again. So this is the Backwoods Bastard Ale Aged in Oak Bourbon Barrels. So it is a bourbon barrel aged Scotch ale. It's 11% by volume. Has a rate beer rating of 100, just like the KBS. Untapped has it at like 4.3 something, I think, is an average rating. So again, it's a really highly rated beer. They had one case. I picked up the one case. I don't know if necessarily, I don't think it's as hard to get as a KBS, but I feel like it's still a little bit limited because I've never seen this beer before. And, it's not the first time they've brewed it, but, so this is available April through December. And the website says, expect lovely, warm smells of single malt scotch, oaky bourbon barrels, smoke, sweet caramel and roasted malts, a bit of earthy spice, and a scintilla of dark fruit. It's a kickback sipper made to excite the palate. It's available, it says distribution note, now available year-round. Beginning April of 2018. So it is available year round now. You can get it in a 4-pack or on draft. And I think I read somewhere they have it on. Oh, so it's on tap in Detroit at the Founders, and also in Grand Rapids at the Founders Brewery on that side of the state. But it's very true to what the website says. One thing, if I am comparing this to the KBS that I had last week, you definitely get more of a smoky taste to it. So you can taste the smokiness. You definitely get that scotch that hits you. That's the one thing I noticed, where the KBS was more smooth, considering the fact that the KBS is bourbon barrel aged. It's actually a higher alcohol content. This really gets you with that kind of that scotch taste when you first sip on it. And that being said, it's a really good beer. Smoky, I taste the caramel in it. I don't taste the chocolate that I tasted in the KBS, but it is has a nice sweetness to it, kind of a sweet aftertaste. And I think that's where that dark fruit kind of comes in, the note of dark fruit. But it pours nice and dark with kind of a brown twinge to it. It's kind of a medium bodied beer, and like I said, it definitely hits you though. I feel like I'm drinking a beer that just had like I went to the bar. I was like, hey, give me a drink that's half beer and half scotch. And like, that's what I feel like I'm drinking. So it has that boozy taste to it, but it's again, very well done. I like the mix of flavors to it, and it's another good beer.
Well, that sounds good.
It is good.
It's very another Founders gem.
You know, Founders has turned into my favorite brewery. Again, like some of the other breweries that we've talked about on the show here, they just really know how to make a good beer. They really know how to combine flavors at the right levels. They do just a really good job with their beers. And as a matter of fact, I think the brewery that you're going to be talking about tonight is another one of those that I think just does really good with unique flavors. And I'm interested in what you think about the one you're drinking tonight.
This is one that I had a couple weeks ago, and I had a variation of it, and it's one that you had a while back as well, but you didn't have this particular version of it. But it's the Ballast Point Victory at Sea Peanut Butter Imperial Porter, and a week or so ago I had the Coconut Imperial Porter, which I really liked. And this is the peanut butter one, which I think I even mentioned it on the show that I wish I had picked up the other one because I liked that coconut one so much that I really wish I had picked up the peanut butter, but I just didn't feel like buying another bottle. So I actually went back this week to my friends at Norm's, and they did actually have one left. So I went ahead and grabbed it. And the description is, this peanut butter Victory at Sea is a nutty version of our popular Imperial Porter. We took our trademark robust porter brewed with Cafe Calabria coffee and vanilla and added peanut butter. We took our trademark robust porter brewed with Cafe Calabria coffee and vanilla and added peanut butter, which added another level to this roasty, flavorful beer. And it's a limited availability, 22-ounce bottles, 10% alcohol by volume, and a 68 IBU rating. And I've already had a little bit just because I wanted to go ahead and get it loaded into Untappd. And I'm probably a little bit more than a little disappointed in it because I don't really get a whole lot of the peanut butter. I do smell it in my glass. I didn't really smell it in the bottle. I checked that first. But I think in this particular case, the coffee and the vanilla kind of overpower it. I don't really get as much peanut butter in it as I did episode 49. I had the For Pete's Sake Imperial Chocolate Peanut Butter Porter And I've had other peanut butter beers that had more of a peanut butter taste to it. And this, I don't really get much. I think maybe it's a little bit more smooth and it's not as prevalent. I think maybe the coffee has such a strong taste to it. I do like it because it is coffee and I love coffee, but I'm, like I said, I'm a little bit let down that I don't get as much of the peanut butter in it, but I rated it a 3.5 on Untappd, and looking in on Untappd, the rating is like 3.75. So I'm not that far off, which makes me feel better. That's really something that I should have jumped on, but even here on Rate Beer, it's 3.75 as well. So not bad. But if you're looking for something that's got peanut butter in it, I would look to something else.
Well, that's too bad. You know, again, Ball's Point is always, as I had mentioned before, it's kind of one of those breweries that usually does the flavors pretty well. And the Victory Sea that I had was delicious. And well, that's too bad. And even the from the last episode, the Sour Wench Blackberry Ale, again, very strong flavors. It lived up to its name. So I was really hoping for you that it would do kind of the same thing, but, I guess you can't win them all. Not every brewery can hit it out of the park every single time.
Well, I'm about 8 ounces in and I'll see if I get more of that. But again, right off the bat, it's more coffee than peanut butter so far.
By the way, this Backwoods Bastard that I'm drinking right now, I rated it 4.75 on Untappd.
Founder's magic.
You know, it was really close to me in a lot of ways, especially from a quality standpoint as well, from the to the KBS, but it wasn't quite as good as the KBS. So I feel like I wouldn't be doing the KBS justice if I rated this along the lines, because I think that beer is just kind of in a league of its own. But again, this is a really, really good beer, and it's definitely one, if I can find it again, I might pick it up again. It wasn't cheap, though. It wasn't quite as expensive as the KBS, but I mean, for a four-pack,
out of gold.
For a four-pack, it wasn't cheap either, but you know, you get what you pay for most of the time.
That's true. Well, speaking of peanut butter, last week we had our discussion, and I don't even remember how it came up. Maybe it was in the Life Hacks, but we ended up talking about peanut butter, and as Melissa told me that I had a little bit too much of an obsession with the peanut butter and how you apply it to the bread and all that, and you had your life hack, which I think went over pretty well, but I put it out on Twitter as a just kind of a poll to see, and we got 142 votes on it, and 86% of the people said that the peanut butter goes on first, 8% said the jelly or honey, 6% said other. So the question was, so you're making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which goes on first? Robert has his idea and Rob doesn't necessarily agree. So it looks like 86% of the people said peanut butter, and somebody said cheese as the other. So I don't know about peanut butter and cheese. But that is no from eggs. The Basket Case podcast. So that gives us a little bit of an idea of what we're dealing with.
So 86% of people don't know how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, that's just, to me, that's crazy. So, and I'm going to put it will end up on social media, but I made a video today. I was making Harrison a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I decided to make a little bit of a movie in Two Bob's style. So like, don't show it to your kids. Type of how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which goes step by step on how I do it and why. And I think that you'll find that 86% of you just don't know what the fuck you're doing when it comes to making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So I'm going to put that up on the social channels. I have it in a private YouTube link right now, but I'll move it to the Two Bobs channel and go from there.
We'll put a link in the show notes as well. But it's funny, some of the answers, like I said, the cheese, and another said peanut butter first, just inefficient. Much easier to quickly rinse the knife if you go jelly first. I actually use the PB&J test as hiring criteria for my interns.
That guy knows. That's a smart guy right there.
One of them said they don't have to go in any order because I put one on each slice of the bread and slap them together. I usually do the peanut butter slice first, but there rarely is a rhyme or reason to it. Peanut butter after jelly, peanut butter sticks to the spoon. So, yeah, it got into the spoon.
No, you know what? Notice, though, the people that said that the jelly goes first had an actual reason why the jelly needs to go first, other than, well, that's just how it is. So I'm just saying, it seems like the people that even though I'm in the minority group here, it seems like the people that are on my side with the jelly going first, again, they had a reason other than that's just how it is.
Twitter user Sum Ting Wong is you said always peanut butter first. Anything else is anarchy. I guess I was right.
Somebody else put, I don't trust anybody that does, you know. But anyways, listen, watch the video when it goes up and then comment and let me know if I've changed your mind.
Okay. Well, we'll link to it. Another weird thing that happened this week, it made me think because it, after our discussion and after Melissa told me that I was just a nut job for even like latching onto it like a pit bull. But we had, the other day I was craving, and I know I've mentioned it before in the show, but I was craving McNuggets from McDonald's because I really like the hot mustard sauce. So I go over there and get it. And she said, well, I want to try the new the buttermilk chicken tenders. So give me that. Give me honey mustard and come back. So I come back and I'm sitting there eating them and I'm enjoying myself. And I look over and see her. She's not using the honey mustard, but she's eating the McDonald's chicken tenders and she's using Chick-fil-A sauce with it. And I go crazy. You can't mix.
She brought her own sauce.
We had it in the refrigerator.
Oh, so you were at home.
Okay. Yeah, we were at home eating it. Okay. But she's mixing brands there. What do you have any? I mean, obviously I've got some weird hang up with that. To me, you can't mix that. You can't use Chick-fil-A sauce with a McDonald's product or go to Wendy's and mix all that stuff. It only tastes right when it's made with when you're actually using it with the actual brand that it's meant to be used with.
I mean, I kind of got to go with Melissa a little bit on this one because, you know, I hate to keep bringing up the peanut butter and jelly thing, but like, I'm not going to say that it's wrong if I haven't like tried it myself. So I don't want to say it's wrong just because it is, just because it's wrong. But you know what, with food, I guess I'm weird like that. I guess if I was able to put together some sort of combination that was delicious, like I would take tacos from Taco Bell with a side of chicken McNuggets. Like
that's different.
I'm not above that, but anyway, I'm mixing brands, but what I don't know. Like would I mix brands for other things? Like would I take my truck, which is a Ram, and put Ford mats inside of it? No, I wouldn't do that. So like, I guess there's certain circumstances where I would say, you know, keep the brand separate, but you know what, whatever pleases your palate, go for it.
That's fine.
I mean, still though, like I wouldn't go out of my way for it though. Like I wouldn't.
No, I think just because we had it, it's not she went stopped somewhere else and just asked for a separate thing of Chick-fil-A sauce.
But. So in my brain, I picture that you were actually at McDonald's, and maybe I just missed that detail that you were at home, but I pictured...
No, I kept it to myself.
So I pictured you were at McDonald's, and then you are ordering the food, and then Melissa pulls out Chick-fil-A sauce from her purse, or from her coat.
She's got her own pump there.
You know? Yeah. And then she has her Wendy's drink, and her... You know, so
yeah, frosty.
Yeah, you know, no, maybe something from Starbucks, you know, it doesn't hurt like that. So that would be obviously, that'd just be weird. But, you know, let me ask you though. So you brought the sauce. Did she save the honey mustard sauce from McDonald's? What is she going to mix that with?
I know. Well, now the whole world is turned upside down. I don't know that we can really recover from that.
I mean, it's a sick cycle, right? Like, where are you going to go to get chicken nuggets from with honey mustard that she can eat the McDonald's honey mustard with and then take whatever sauce that other meal came with and put that in the fridge? Like, you're always going to be a sauce behind now.
That's what I mean. See, she screwed everything up. Now we've got to basically empty out the refrigerator, start from scratch.
I just burn your whole house down. Just.
I would.
Do it next week, though, because we don't have a podcast anyway. So
give me time to rebuild.
You had any good pizza lately?
I haven't. We've got the pizza place that's near here that's really good. But one thing I'm intrigued by, and I think we might have even talked about that before. Are you a fan of the Olive Garden?
It's all right.
Not so much.
It's all right.
It's kind of the, but they've got a new pizza bowl which is basically looks like a, they basically taken the shell of whatever the pizza crust would be. They made a bowl out of it, and then they've shoved the sauce and the meat and the cheese all inside of it. So you kind of almost eat it like a soup.
No, I'm not doing that.
No.
I mean, how is that any different than ordering pizza and just grabbing a fork and scraping all the toppings off of your pizza and eating that, and then just eating the bread? Essentially, they've pulled the sides of the pizza up to make it into a shell and just shoved all the ingredients into it. And it's Olive Garden, so they're probably going to charge you $20 for that stupid thing.
Well, I think it's a lot like when you go to Chipotle and you get a burrito, or you get the burrito bowl, and they basically shove everything that would be inside your burrito, but they put it in the bowl and you eat it that way. I think that's what they're probably trying to go after, but with a pizza, it doesn't seem like it's quite the same.
I don't know, but it's like a sit-down restaurant, though. That's the weird thing. It's not like some like quick, fast food restaurant or something like that. It's like, what, are you going to go to the Olive Garden, take your little linen napkin and put it on your lap, and then look at your waitress and say, I'd like the pizza bowl, please, with the meatballs and the mozzarella cheese, thank you, like
with a salad and breadsticks.
Yeah, and the thing is, they don't have pizza. I don't know how this is gonna taste. I'm not gonna do it again. I love pizza too much to let this ruin pizza for me.
And I like Olive Garden even less.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's Olive Garden. Like, I feel like it's not really good, especially for the price. Yeah. Kelly and I, when we were dating, we went on we binged on Olive Garden at one point. Like, every other day, I think we were going to Olive Garden. It got to the point where we'd walk in and they, like, recognize us. And that's when we looked at each other. We're like, what have we turned into? What? And we need to make this stop. And again, their salads, they're called Olive Garden, and their salads have like two olives in them.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to do anything right, it's got to be fucking olives. It's in the name.
Yeah. We haven't been in so long because it's always crowded and it takes forever. And the food's okay, but I don't really remember anything standing out about it. So
the only thing I do like is the Zuppa Toscana. It's the creamy soup that has the chunks of sausage in there.
Oh yeah, anything with sausage.
Yeah, there's some gnocchi. So like, their soup is really good. If I could just go get some soup there, I'd be okay with it.
Soup and a salad, you're done.
Yeah, everything else can fuck off. Is that even real Italian food?
I don't think so.
No,
it might be. I think it's not quite fast food, but
I'll just go to fucking Sparrow. It's cheaper.
Authentic New York pizza over there.
According to Michael Scott, it is.
Now, one thing we haven't really talked about today is our friend Alexa, and she's sitting here just, I guess, waiting to be summoned. But I saw an article that was kind of funny this week. Well, funny in a weird sort of way, but it's from Slate, which is a real news source. We don't actually reference that often, but
well, it's real.
Articles.
Why would we reference a real news source, Robert?
Yeah. I don't know.
Go ahead. I interrupted you, as I do.
Well, as I do. And last week I edited a lot of my interruptions out. I think at one point you're like, shut the fuck up, Robert.
So, and I'm listening back at last week's episode, and maybe I was just inebriated and I didn't.
Yeah.
But especially as we got in, you're talking under your breath as I was talking was just. I'm going to kill you.
I left those in there. And I was wondering if you could hear me when I did it.
I hate you so
and
much.
I don't think you did because you just kept going on. I fucking hate you. I don't like you. You piss me off. And you just kept talking. And I didn't realize how good I felt until I listened back and I couldn't understand a damn word that I said. Oh, man. My speech was torn up.
Yeah, it was bad.
But anyhow, we got our friends here at Slack. There are new friends at Slack, and the article really caught my eye because we have added our friend Alexa to the...
What's the website called, Robert?
Did I call it Slack?
Twice.
God damn it. I'm going to drink some more of this.
All right, so our friends at slop.com...
I had slut.com up in a separate tab, but this is Slate.
Slut?
And the title of the article is... Let me Google that.
Slape? Slape? With a P?
I'm not Googling Stormy Daniels anymore, but it says, I don't date men who yell at Alexa.
Well, you wouldn't date me,
how you treat your how you treat your digital assistant says a lot about you. And she's waiting for a command. I thought it was kind of funny because what the title of the article is, I don't date men who yell at Alexa. So she's basically saying that the way you and she's listening again, the way that you treat your Alexa is kind of a reflection of how you treat people in real life. Now, do you agree with that?
No. First off, Rachel exactly. Withers over at slop.com or whatever it's called. She's got to be like single, right? So, I mean, I yell at Alexa. I yell at Siri. Hey Siri, you're wait. Let me try that over. That just came out. I don't want to say that on the podcast.
I was gonna get my beeper going.
sorry about that. That came out of nowhere. Hey Siri, you're a stupid bitch. She never says my name though. I changed it to Big Daddy. I want to say I'm doing my best, Big Daddy.
She's mad at you.
Alexa, you're a stupid bitch. Yeah, whatever.
She basically folded her arms and turned her back to you. But it says when Jeremy barked orders at his personal assistant, she didn't flinch, but I did. Something about the sound of his sharp, commanding tone, directed not at me, but still at a woman, repulsed me. In the few weeks we had been dating, he had never spoke to me this way. But could he? Hearing Jeremy make ungrateful demands didn't make him seem more powerful or important. He sounded entitled and difficult, like someone who enjoyed commanding for the sake of commanding. He would always ask her to do things he could easily do himself, almost as if to prove that he could. Surely it would take less time to reach out and hit the light switch by the door than to bark, "Alexa, lights on," every time he entered the apartment.
First off, again, these aren't women. Siri, by the way, you can change it to a guy's voice. But, and I don't know if Alexa will do that, but nonetheless, they're not women. They're computers. They're digital assistants. So I bark orders at the digital assistants, and because you have to be blunt and direct when you're talking to them. Because if I were to talk to Siri or Alexa the way I talk to other people in my life, they wouldn't understand what the hell I'm asking them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think in most times I don't have to say, "Rob, turn on the lights." You know, you just say, "Rob, turn on the lights," and you would get it. But yeah. "Alexa, turn on the lights" doesn't really work. But if I say, "Alexa," it she wakes up and then I go.
Yeah,
right?
I would say, "Hey, Alexa, when you get a chance, could you turn on the lights for me? I really appreciate it." Like, if I say that to her, she's not going to, she's going to, "Bidoom, I don't know what you're," so like, so. So Casey,
that's how Ben does it, though. He's very polite with it. Like he's afraid to upset it.
Yeah, because like, he doesn't realize that she's a stupid bitch.
Please turn on the lights. But see, that's how you talk to people. So he does it overly polite.
Yeah.
But I usually I'm just matter of fact. It's not a sharp tone, I guess, like Jeremy. But that's how Madeline does it. She's not all the time. She's getting better, I think, because I mentioned it to her that. She's kind of sharp with it, but she tends to be probably pretty close to how Jeremy is.
Harrison told Alexa that he hated her today.
Because she wouldn't make purple rainbows?
Yeah, no, it was, I forget exactly what the issue was. He was trying to get her to play the theme song for SpongeBob SquarePants, and it just wasn't happening. He goes, "Alexa, I'm mad at you." And she goes, "Doo-doo."
"I'm sorry to hear that. You can always share your feedback through the help and feedback section of the Alexa app."
Alexa, shut the fuck up.
Alexa, play the theme song to SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants theme song by SpongeBob SquarePants.
Are you ready, kids?
Where is he?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Hello, Captain!
Lives in a pineapple under the sea.
SpongeBob
absorbent and yellow and porous as he.
So anyhow, the article goes on, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes. But she says she began her habit of noting how men speak to their devices. Not all men as bad as Jeremy, of course. There was a sensitive Southern gentleman who tenderly asked Google to play him a thunderstorm. The "hey" added a welcome salutation, lessening the abruptness. And the workaholic surgeon who courteously entreated Alexa to order some paper towels.
So she needs to date like an 85-year-old who just doesn't know any better. Like, hey, Alexa, could you do this for me? Blah. Like, that's who she needs to date. Yeah, and I'm not saying anything against her. I think she's just being really judgmental about the way that men talk to, again, not women. It's not like her boyfriend turned around and talked to her that way. He was talking to a digital assistant that way.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm wondering how much of it is really based on fact. It doesn't really even say that Jeremy is made up. And a part of me, basically, as really in-depth as she goes into this, I don't think he's a fictitious character at all. I think she actually really does this. And I'd be curious if she's found anybody that she's pleased with. She sounds a little bit disgruntled.
And by the way, some of the comments are interesting. One says, "Dear Ms. Withers, never date a veteran. Clear and concise speaking is apparently not your cup of tea, and that's largely all we do. Regards, Carbon Date is the guy's name. This article seems transparently written to sell smart speakers. Just saying." Couldn't an article about gendered software be written without name-dropping so many specific products? Has anyone here ever thrown a tool across the room in frustration? How someone treats their tools tells us a lot about them. Oh, by the way, did I get the pronouns correct?
Well, I'll get pissed at it if it doesn't exactly do the right thing each time. So if I ask it to turn on the lights and then it doesn't, or I'll get mad at myself because I have the lights in here in my studio, the kitchen, the office, upstairs, family room. So I've got, I think, 5 sets of lights. And sometimes I'll walk into, let's say, the bedroom and I'll say to turn on, and I'll remember being down in the living room and asking it to turn the lights on or off down there. And I'll get them mixed up. I'm like partway through and then I correct myself and then I have to wait because then she'll be like, pardon, I'm sorry. You know, she doesn't quite get what it is. And I don't want to turn all the wrong lights off and turn them all back on. And that's when I get pissed, and then I just start barking because, yeah, you're right. The article's right. It would be easier to just flip it, and every now and then Melissa's kind of at that point. Can we just go back to the switch?
Well, that's why I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the smart switches in the house because I know if I didn't have those, I'd be having the same exact argument with Kelly because I don't think she has the Hue app. In her on her phone. I'm not quite sure she's ever actually used it though. But you know, I do like to be able to, it's not because it would be faster, it's because it would be less work. I'm a lazy American living in the Midwest. Like, I don't want to have to lift my hand up and get up and go to the other side of the room to flip the switch. I just want to be able to yell at Siri to go ahead and change the lights for me, or Alexa, or whoever just I feel like wanting to do it at that moment. You know, I have all these female assistants in my house for a reason.
Whether you're married to them or not.
Oh, man, you've really been.
I didn't get my brownies, by the way. I might be lashing.
Yeah, I was going to say you've really earned a lot of brownie points with Kelly. No pun intended.
Melissa even said last, she goes, you're not going to get brownies. You know that. Like, yeah, no. I know that's.
I do have something I'm sending you tomorrow, though.
Okay. I'll keep an eye out for it. If it's brownies, make sure you wrap them up, you know, so they don't get stale.
It's nothing edible. I mean, you shouldn't eat what I'm sending you. No, I got, I got you something, and I wasn't at work today. Otherwise, I would have sent it out today. So I'm going to send it out tomorrow instead, and you'll get it. I don't know if I feel like having my office pay for Saturday delivery, but we'll see. It might be Monday.
All right. Well, that's enough Alexa talk. But as we mentioned earlier, we do have a phone number. So while we're out next week, if you want to leave those voicemails or send us text, we will take care of them on the next show. And last week, we talked to our friend Rambling Rob. We left him some voicemails, and then he left one for us. And then he left another one for us and another one for us and so on. But I guess last week, he liked that we talked about him, so he called back.
Life hack, if you're going camping and you want to keep the mosquitoes off your face, wrap a plastic bag around your head. There you go. That's a life hack from B-Rob from the Random Rounds of Rob podcast.
Now, I saw them come in and you said, and I said, oh, we got more voicemails. And you said, oh, you like the life hack. So I went and listened to it. That's pretty good. Man. I don't know if he's directing that at one of us or just a more in general. I have to make sure that I don't take these things personally.
No, I literally laughed out loud when I read that. And I think I was, I mean, he said it in the evening, I think I was sitting on the couch probably yelling at Siri, and I played it for Kelly. I'm like, oh my God, this is so hilarious. So thanks, Rambling Rob, for the voicemail and the clever life hack. I'll be sure to make sure that Robert uses that sometime.
Well, he did leave one more. He actually left a couple more, but just for brevity, we've got this other one, which was good as well.
Yeah, I'm going to stop doing this to you. Like I said, I do this on the hashtag Blackout Podcast as well. They got a voicemail line, and as I listen to the show, you know, I hear something funny or something I can relate to or got a story about, and that's when I call. I don't even finish the fucking rest of the episode.
I'm glad he's not in the wind this time. Call and
shit. But anyway, y'all was talking about Jesus. I went home visit my mom for a birthday. I live in Lake Charles. Well, my family lives in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Ain't shit there, but chemical plants and casinos. But we went to Kroger's because I heard that they had a fantabulous cheese section there.
I thought that was the one that used
that
word.
Cheese, fantabulous. Even though I'm lactose, but I heard so much, you know, proper circumstance about this cheese section. They had all the cheeses, Gouda, all the things that you would want. So I went there, and I'm going to send you a picture of this. I'm going to tag you with your episode on Twitter. I found $100.35 block of cheese. It's called Murphy's Naked Goat Cheese. I don't know what it is. I mean, I know it's cheese, obviously, but what the fuck Murphy doing selling naked goat cheese for $100.35? Look it up. Maybe, I don't know if it's a southern thing. Is it strictly to Louisiana or whatever, or do they have Murphy's Naked Goat Cheese up around where y'all live in? Anyway, that's all I had.
I mean,
until I hear something else, and I probably call back.
I've checked Kroger. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of goat cheese, so I probably wouldn't be eating that. And at $130, I don't think that's going to happen either.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever go buy goat cheese. Like if
no,
I've had things that just happen to have it on it. And I'm all right with it, but I don't like go out of my way to get goat cheese. I don't know. Something about milking a goat and knowing that's where my cheese is coming from.
No, I've tried it. I think it's a consistency thing, and I'm not really a big fan of it.
Yeah, the nipples are different.
More spongy.
They're spongier nipples.
Oh, man. Well, this week we got a new show promo, and it is from our friends at the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We'll play that, and then we'll get into some crazy news.
Do you ever wonder when Spider-Man goes to the bathroom if the toilet paper sticks to his fingers?
Do you ever wonder why Superman wears his underwear outside of his pants?
My name is Imran.
My name is Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And we're your hosts for the Jock and Nerd Podcast, where we sometimes try to attempt to answer these questions.
This is a full spoiler podcast, and we swear a lot.
Check it out for awesome geek news, interviews, and comic book reviews. Visit jockandnerd.com. We are your superhero TV, movies, and comic book culture curators.
Boom.
Jockandnerd.com.
Jock and Nerd.
Now, the Superman thing kind of made me laugh because we talked about that, and I think that was one of your random questions, which is why does he wear his underpants on the outside?
That's true. Maybe Jock and Nerd knows why. I said because I just thought he was an idiot.
I would bet that they do understand it. And a lot of the episode stuff that they talked about sounds pretty familiar, things that we've talked about. So I'll be giving them a listen this week.
I always thought it was funny when Clark Kent became Superman, all he did was take his glasses off and change outfits. Like, you think at some point Lois Lane would be like, hey, Clark, what the fuck are you wearing? And where'd your glasses go? Like, how do you even see?
Why are you walking around in tights? I thought about that too, because as a kid, the Christopher Reeve movies were out, and I was always trying to figure out, like, how do they not know it's him? And as a kid, you're, you know, trying to figure all these things out. Like, why don't they know I'm 8 years old or whatever it was, and I can figure it out? Why are these adults and they can't?
Fucking idiots. It's almost like they wrote that as to not be like a documentary. I don't know. Weird, huh?
Well, that's how my mind works. Why are they not understanding that this is real and this isn't? So I guess he can fly and they don't understand it. But
I'm the one that first questioned. I think I the one that asked my parents, like, all right, seriously, this whole Santa Claus thing, like, come on now.
I'm still waiting for that. This last year, I think, hopefully he still has another year in him, but I don't know. I still got 6 more months before I think he even starts to, well, he'll think about it way before that, but I think we've got we're going to be running out of time here soon. And Colin's probably not that much different since they're about the same
age. No, but like I slip up all the time because he has his iPad, and I'll mention, there's been multiple times where I've mentioned like, hey, you know, make sure you put, you know, you can't leave your iPad out. Daddy paid good money for that. And he'll look at me and be like, no, Santa Claus gave it to me. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. So I think we still do have at least another year with Colin. But we'll see what happens. Colin's not good at keeping secrets, though. So I feel like once Colin knows, like, it won't be long before Harrison finds out, because Colin's going to be like, you know, this whole Santa Claus thing's fucking horseshit, right?
You're going to have to take him aside and just, like, plead with him to not screw this up. Say, hey, you know, you've... Because I've always worried about that. I mean, I was going to say with Madeline, because she's only, you know, probably, well, she's twice his age, but so she's at 16. And I was kind of waiting for that, for her to make these comments. But it's actually Melissa I'm always caught on, because she'll say, oh, that was a cool Santa. And Ben's like, no, that was the real Santa. You know, even some of those, the really good ones, have got the full beard.
Yeah.
And we've seen them. They have one here at our neighborhood that came by. And you look at him and you're like, no, that's fucking Santa Claus. And
the motherfucking Santa, like, oh, right there.
Yeah, you really look at him, and it's not the beard that you pull off. It's got the elastic. No, he is Santa. And she slipped up this past year. She said, oh, that's a really cool Santa. He's like, no, that was Santa. And she said, oh, well, you know, you know, she kind of had, like, figured out, yeah, what it could be, or it was one of his helpers, because he was legit.
See, and that's to be a legit Santa Claus. Like, that's got to be your own beard and hair. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it was, everything was
perfect. You can't tack that shit on and, you know, expect and be respected in the Santa Claus culture.
His suit didn't smell like cigarettes.
I got a quick story. There was this time, and I got to, hold on, I got to take a note. Santa Claus picks. Okay, so you ever been to an outlet mall? Like one of those, yeah, like outdoor outlet malls, or, you know, like the, yeah, big strip mall, basically. Well, yep, there's one up near Frankenmuth, actually, Michigan. And Kelly and I were there one year. This was, I don't know, it was before the kids were born, I think. So it had to have been, well, no, maybe it wasn't before the kids were born. I don't know. I think Colin might have been around, but I know Harrison wasn't. So we were at this outlet mall, and, you know, and like in the middle of the mall, there was like a welcome center type of place, you know, where you go and it's,
yep,
there's like couches and stuff where you can sit, and there's bathrooms, and there's like a concierge or a help desk and stuff like that. Well, we go in there, and it's a very big outlet mall, so there's a very big like welcome center, and we walk in, and it's June. I want to say it was June, and I look, and I'm sitting there waiting for Kelly to use the restroom, and I look over, and there's an entire group of Santa Clauses and Mrs. Clauses. Like, just no less than probably 30, 40 people either dressed as Santa Claus or Mrs. Claus, like having like a fucking conference or something. It was a Santa Claus conference in the middle of June. Naturally, I pulled my cell phone out and took pictures of it, and so I know I have them somewhere, and I will have to find the pictures of the Santa Claus conference, because it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
They're on your flip phone somewhere?
The fact that my phone had a camera on it.
Flip phones had cameras?
Well, they did, and not good ones, though. I know.
They were shitty, yeah.
Yeah, I want to say this was my...
640 by 480?
You know, it's a 150 dots per inch or something like that. No, so I have pictures. I can't vouch for the quality of the pictures. I'm hoping it's recent enough where they will be on my device. So I'm wondering, I think I might have been on an iPhone by then. We'll find out. But if I can find them, I'll put them up on social. They're pretty funny.
Cool.
And also, before we get into crazy news,
uh-oh,
another beer that it's one, again, one of my top choices for beers that I found the same time I got Backwoods Bastards, is I found more Figure It Out coconut vanilla milk stouts from Griffin Claw, and I'm excited that they're opening a Griffin Claw location right near my work. That's going to be a problem. So
you sent me the picture of it, and I recognized the can of it. Then I couldn't remember exactly what the beer it was, but I see you're drinking that. So
that's right.
You liked it.
Oh yeah, I liked it, and it was one of those where I got a 4-pack, and it was delicious. And then I found a couple at when I was at our friends at Napa Valley at 15 a Mound in Sterling Heights. And this was at Bootlegger's Party Store up in Rochester Hills, right by my office. And I found another 4-pack of them. So I picked them up. I would have picked up more, except they only had 1 4-pack.
Damn it.
All right.
We have some crazy news.
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's get on with it.
I heard it. For some reason, I want a cupcake with sprinkles.
I know. And I saw, I don't even remember where it was, but I saw some cupcakes, and I thought, I really need to get a box of the Hostess ones and put them in the refrigerator because they're so good when they're cold.
I am hungry, and I already ate dinner.
I'm hungry. I'm not noshing on some of these goobers.
I had chili for dinner tonight that I made. Kelly found a Pinterest episode. Use the Instant Pot.
Oh, no. I never bought the Instant Pot. I don't need another appliance.
I'm going to tell you how to make this chili. It was delicious. You put it on saute mode, and you throw some olive oil in there with some beef, some ground beef, and some chopped or diced onions and bell peppers. You mix that shit up real good until the meat's brown. Then you add water, a can of diced tomatoes, and a large can of Manwich to it. You throw that all in there, and then you pressure cook it. And you add noodles. You got to add noodles. So you pressure. You add noodles. You pressure cook that shit for like 3 minutes. Open it up. Oh my god, it was good. It was
3 minutes. I was joking when I said 5 minutes.
No, it's 3 minutes. Now it has to build the pressure up first. So once the pressure builds up, it's three minutes.
3 minutes. It takes hours to make chili.
Yeah, it was good. Very flavorful.
Now, what kind of noodles do you use?
We use like
elbows.
Was it rigatoni that we put in there? I don't know. You can use whatever the fuck kind you want, really. I use whatever Kelly bought. I want to say it was like mini rigatoni noodles. It was good.
Now, can she burn it though in that machine, or does it pretty much take care of it?
Well, it was very fudgy.
I like my chili cakey.
No, jeez, Robert, she's gonna.
Well, shit, if it cooks chili in 3 minutes, I should have gotten the Instant Pot when it was on sale last week.
Oh, you should have. It's on sale. There's another one I saw that was on sale this week.
Oh, no. We'll need that.
It's good. We've been using it. The whole
Now, do you cut up your own? I mean, or does Kelly rather cut up her own peppers and onions?
I cut up the peppers and onions. Kelly was out and about, and she asked me if I could make the dinner. So she sent me the recipe. I don't have Pinterest, so she screen capped the recipe and texted it to me, and I made it. So I did cut up the onions and the bell peppers.
No.
I mean, you can get it pre-cut.
Melissa's dad did that. Yeah, well, you get the pre-cut, the frozen ones. Melissa's dad used to cut those things up, and then there's the bag that's already pre-cut. The whole bag is basically diced onions and peppers, and it's perfect for that kind of thing. They're already cut. You just dump them in.
But it's not fresh. It's not fresh.
It's fresh after you thaw it.
Hey, listen. I had a stack of ingredients that had already been purchased at the store and explicit directions on how to make this.
I know. Don't fuck that up.
Do you like hard-boiled eggs?
I do, but I don't put them in water. I use the steamer.
Well, it's funny. That's what I was going to tell you. I figured this out to steam them.
It's the best. And they peel.
Yeah. That's exactly what I started doing. I started steaming the eggs and making hard boiled eggs that way.
It's the best. It's
fantastic. Because I got to tell you, if I actually have to boil them, half of them are going to be cracked and half of them are going to be undercooked.
Well, I would always put them on there and I'd start boiling them, and then I'd go fuck around on the computer and watch TV, and then pretty soon an hour has gone by and like, shit, there's still eggs boiling on the stove, and by then they burst. They just burst.
I think my,
because they boiled for so long.
I think my dad one time went to like boil eggs and hard boil eggs and just completely forgot about them. I don't, he might have even left the house or something like that.
Every time
he came back, it was just eggs and no water in the bottom of the pan.
I've done that every single time. So at least with the steamer, and the steamer that I got is really nice though, but if you forget about it, it'll just start over. So you get the 13 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever it is, you got to turn it off and then take them off, because otherwise it'll start the 13 minutes again, and then they do start to split.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very good steamer at all, Robert.
Well, when it beeps, you just take care of it. And I tell Alexa to set the timer. Oh, shit. She's starting to...
There are no timers set.
Fuck off, Alexa.
But I have it set to the Hue lights too, so that when the timer goes off, the lights just start blinking. It's like poltergeist in this place. So you're shouting at Alexa to stop, and then the lights eventually stop blinking, and you take it out of the oven or turn the timer off. Whatever.
You're not supposed to put the steamer in the oven.
I don't put the steamer in there. No. It's plastic. You can't put that in heat.
I mean,
not like my pot from last week.
That's probably just don't put it on the stove.
That's right. Hey, I was saving electricity. Well, God damn it, we never got to our story. We want to talk about Matt Stone.
We played Stoney. The drop. We played the intro music like 10 minutes ago.
Do we got to do it again?
No, it's fine. They already know we're getting to it.
All right. Well, why don't you tell us about
it? So let me tell you about this guy.
He's too thin.
He's a champion named Matt Stoney, and he is a champion glutton. And you know he's... You know what he's
like,
you know what he's a glutton for eating?
I would say cupcakes with sprinkles.
Hey, John.
There's a chance. So this is from Huffington Post, and the headline is Champion Glutton Matt Stoney Eats 125 Cupcakes. And you might be thinking, well, what's the big fucking deal? It's 125 cupcakes. But he ate 125 cupcakes with sprinkles.
No, that's put me straight over the edge. I can do 124.
And now we have no listeners because all of their heads have exploded.
Mind blown.
Wow.
I was stuck in the tornado of sugar, the competitive eater said, after consuming more than 12,000 calories in minutes. Never invite this man to your kid's birthday party. Competitive eater Matt Megatoad Stoney. Megatoad? Who the fuck comes up with these names? God, what's like a... I feel like I'm a like a frog, but I don't live in water. But I'm more than that. So Megatoad is what he came up with. Consumed 125 cupcakes in one sitting with a YouTube video he posted Monday. The former Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champ, ranked third by Major League Eating. There's an actual league.
Yep.
Showed off his voracious sweet tooth by hoovering down. And it's capitalized, so that way
right.
You know that it's in a reference to a vacuum cleaner. More than 12,000 calories worth of bakery treats in 8 minutes and 55.15 seconds. He ate the first 50 in about 2 minutes and struggled from there. I think in the tornado of sugar, he said, and if I was... I just like...
Hello, is Al there?
Al?
Yeah, Al. Last name, Kaholic?
Let me check. Phone call for Al. Alcoholic. Is there an alcoholic here?
I was stuck in the tornado of sugar, he said in a viral video of the stunt.
Stoney noted that he had excelled in other sweet challenges, eating 85 moon pies. I don't know why that gets my mind going in the wrong direction in 255 beeps in minutes.
I got a semi.
A donut downing feat showed there were no holes in the glutton game. There I go back in that rabbit hole. And now he knows. And now we know he's no cupcake.
Derp.
When it comes to cupcakes. So yeah, he was able. And the nastiest thing, and I've seen them do this with the hot dog eating contest, that they basically put it in their mouth and then they start drinking water with it.
Kelly,
and I
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. You tell me, because I of course I've got something that I'm completely.
I have what I have to say has nothing to do with this article. So you go first.
Well, no, I see people that do that. They put food in their mouth and they instantly start drinking to like liquefy it. No, your mouth is going to do that, and it's doing that now because I'm eating these goobers. But you put the food in your mouth and then you start drinking initially. And there was a kid in school, and I don't remember exactly what grade, but every day there was always pizza. So he'd get pizza, and you always had milk. Well, he'd take a couple bites of his pizza and then instantly start drinking the milk and then start chewing.
Oh,
it was
the nastiest thing.
So now any time I see anybody eating something and then instantly drinking right after they start to chew, it just makes my stomach churn.
Yeah, fuck that. That's just, you're an animal if you do that. Like, I mean, seriously, that's gross. Why water down all your food? If you're going to water down all your food, I would think you should probably stop and evaluate who you are as a person and what your goals are in life, like, and how you are consuming food on a daily basis. Like, I'm all about swallow your food, take a sip of something, but not while it's in your mouth. Not while your taste buds are still in.
Yeah, they're activated.
In contact with the food. What I had to say is Kelly sent me a meme that says, do sharks complain about Monday? No. They're up early.
I can only imagine.
They're up early, biting shit, chasing stuff, being scary, reminding everyone that they are a fucking shark.
You're right. That had nothing to do with this. You know who created that? It was Harrison.
Probably. Harrison loves sharks. So today at the preschool, it was...
Oh, no.
It was...
you get a call
it
again?
It was beach day at the preschool today, so...
Parent-teacher conference.
He does... He's... miraculously, he is a completely different person at school than he is at home. So... He does he is pretty good at school for the most part, and so he went today and he had a shirt and, you know, of course, shark themed bathing suit on, and he brought a towel. He brought a PJ Masks towel with him, and of course he decorated a paper with a crab on it and a bunch of sharks. So. He knew exactly what kind of sharks they were too. He's like, yeah, that's a great white. And that's a hammerhead shark.
Too funny.
Or we're playing with sharks, too. And I'm like, and I have a little whale shark. And I'm like, I'm going to eat you. He's like, no, whale sharks only eat plankton. And I'm like, like, of course, he knows that.
You know what he doesn't know? He doesn't know our friend over here in Denver, Colorado. Huh. And then...
It looks like if Jesus were a meth addict. Go ahead.
I don't know that he even shares the show art with any other photo this week.
It might just have to be just this guy. Oh, man.
A man in Denver, Colorado with an extremely bad case of the munchies. As you know, pot's legal there. Was arrested last night after he broke into a pet shop and devoured over 10 pounds of dog biscuits and dry food. Officers of the Denver Police Department arrived at the Dog Kingdom Pet Shop around 3 a.m. this morning after the store's alarm was triggered by a presumed intruder.
Who breaks into a pet store unless you're hungry and you're...
Once on the site, they noticed a broken window and found 49... Once on site, they noticed a broken window and found 49-year-old Wendell Garrison inside the store chewing on some dog biscuits. A little trivia there is Wendell's the kid that threw up in probably one of the very first Simpsons.
Hey, Hey, Wendell, you made it, buddy.
Lieutenant Esmeralda Molina, one of the officers who arrested him, said he was visibly high on drugs and appeared to be starving. He was sitting on the food. Damn it. He was sitting on the floor in front of three open packages of dog food, and he was stuffing himself with those biscuits like there was no tomorrow. Lieutenant Molina said she laughed out loud when she understood the situation.
I bet she did. He's certainly the least dangerous criminal I've ever arrested. No criminal charges have been filed yet against Wendell Garrison, as the store's owner hasn't registered any complaint. It is possible that he may offer Mr. Garrison a settlement if he accepts to forpay the damage that he caused. That's not even me. That's what it says. It is possible that he may offer Mr. Garrison a settlement if he accepts to forpay the damage that he caused. And there's like a Mexican female police officer right there. According to the police.
He's more Esmeraldo than Esmeralda.
She's a very, very masculine female. According to the police, Mr. Garrison admitted he had smoked a lot of cannabis with one of his friends during the evening. By the way, I ate a dog biscuit last week. I wanted to know what it tastes like. So I had a chicken-flavored milk bone. And actually, it wasn't that bad. It was kind of like dry and it didn't have a ton of flavor, just a little bit of chicken. I just wanted to know. And so I ate it. And the kids and Kelly all thought it was disgusting. They didn't try it. They were disgusted that I had tried it. He says he was walking home and was extremely hungry when he came across the pet shop. Although many cannabis users admit feeling some kind of food craving while under the drug's influence, extreme cases like this one are relatively rare. However, a few notable cases have attracted a lot of media attention in recent years. One was arrested last year in New Jersey after breaking into a Dunkin' Donuts restaurant and eating five pounds of raw dough. And a man was arrested in California earlier this year after eating frozen chicken wings at a Save Mart supermarket. Thanks to our friends at worldnewsdailyreport.com for this hard-hitting news.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have known about this without them.
You know, they mentioned California at the very end of that article, and another story out of California. Did you hear about the woman who sued her parents because she's ugly?
Bullshit.
A California woman is suing her own parents for $2 million because she blames her parents for her ugly genes. A wife dies hours after giving birth, and husband's gut tells him to log into her pregnancy.
You have reached the Random Ramblings with Rob podcast voicemail service. At the tone, leave your most random message so it can be played on the show. Thank you.
So is Rambling Rob using his white person voice. Hello, Rambling Rob. This is Rob from the Two Bobs podcast here with Robert Kilimowski.
Yeah, we're just doing our crazy news here, and we've had a couple of beers like you told us to do. We figured we'd give you a call and see what you were up to.
Shit, now since he uses a white person voice, as he stated to us, by the way.
In the third voicemail, I didn't play. He did say that sometimes when you're talking to people, you gotta use your white man voice, kind of like you're in an interview or something, I think was his exact.
Would it be inappropriate if I use a black person voice then when I'm leaving him a voicemail? I won't do that.
No, we shouldn't. But you know, we've appreciated your voicemails. You've left us some good ones. I'm glad that the wind has finally died down in this last batch that you you left us and you're actually in the car versus walking to your car. Yeah. So it's probably a little bit safer there.
I would hope
so. Down there in the mean streets of Houston.
Did you know that the nation's two worst presidents, not including Donald Trump, were from Texas, including George Bush? Lyndon B. Johnson was also from Texas. So
isn't he the one that killed Kennedy?
He's the one that killed John Wilkes Booth.
Oh, right. Oh, shit. I never went to geography class.
Yeah, they were seeing Hamilton in Manhattan.
Over right there at the AMC.
We're good at history.
Ha ha, salutations, motherfuckers.
Hey, ha ha, salutations, motherfuckers.
Ha ha, salutations, motherfuckers.
That's the best I could do.
As close as we could get it.
Don't mess with Texas.
I know. Those people are crazy. Well, we're just finishing up our episode. So
it's only a matter of time until they secede from the Union.
Hopefully. But if they do, if you end up washing out into the ocean, or is that California?
I don't know.
Which one's washing out into the ocean?
I think it's California. Texas doesn't have all that much water.
it's kind of attached at the bottom, too.
I mean, there's like, well, he's in Houston, and Houston's, never mind. I can't make,
they got water,
I can't
there?
Make Houston jokes yet.
Yeah, it's too early. It's too soon.
It's too soon.
All right. Well, is that episode 63?
Are we still leaving a voicemail?
Yeah, we're leaving a voicemail. We're going to finish up our show. Is that episode 63?
It better be.
If you're like Rob and you want to leave us a voicemail, 530-882-BOBS, which is 530-882-262.
Goodbye.
Oh, well, shit.
Now at they'll never know.
You know, well, they're going to have to know how to translate Bob's into 2627. If
Well, elderly listener didn't know how to do it, or at least she pretended not to. And I guess she still doesn't know because we haven't heard from her in a little while. But Robert Kilimowski will have to call her one week.
So the other day, I think my dad would know. I think my dad will know by the time this comes out. If not, I will tell you to cut it from the episode. So I got a text. Was it last night? I think last night from my mom. She's at like this wine charity wine tasting something. I got a text from my mom. I flushed my glasses down the toilet at the winery she was at. Apparently, she had her glasses on her head. And she flushes the toilet and her glasses fall literally. And the moment she flushes the toilet, the glasses fall off her head and go directly down. The toilet just sucks, this hoovers that shit up. So she texts, she's laughing. Luckily, I said, how the hell are you going to get home? Like, she's not one of those that like, sometimes she's like me, right? And I don't know exactly how strong your prescription is, but like
horrific.
If I'm not wearing my glasses or contacts, you don't want me on the road. I promise you, you don't want me on the road. And she's kind of the same way. Like, you don't want my mom on the road without any glasses on. So I go, well, how the hell are you going to get home? Well, I have my sunglasses. She has prescription sunglasses.
Okay.
Well, it's nighttime. It's 9:30 at night at this point.
That's still bad.
I go, are you sure? And so she texts me, or she calls me from the road. She's like, no, it's really dark outside. It's really dark, but I'm making it home. And so I haven't heard that she didn't make it home, so I'm assuming she did.
But that's right. I haven't heard that I haven't gotten that strange phone call, so I assume she's okay.
She's like, oh, your dad's going to kill me.
No, I've done that where I've had to drive without my glasses, but usually it's really late. Like, if there's nobody out,
you know, I can't do it.
If I'm the only one, I can squint my way down, but for the most part, I can't really see beyond, but you can make out the shapes and you're fine. But if it's anytime during the day when there's a lot of cars out there,
see, I wouldn't even be able to make out the lines in the road. Like, it's not about shapes with me. It's about, I don't even know where the road is.
Oh, well, that's different. Mine aren't quite that bad.
Yeah, it'll be bad. But anyway,
oh well,
elderly listener,
there's your title in there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to find. You've been doing really good with just announcing it on the show, but
I had it earlier, but I think I was engrossed in what we were talking about, so I didn't write it down. But there is one in there somewhere that something that one of us said that would be good, but I don't know. It'll be a surprise, I guess, as it sometimes is.
All right. Well, we'll see you bitches in 2 weeks.
Yeah. We'll be back on the 21st.
Jelly first. Hashtag jelly first.
Bye-bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it. Yeah, this kid's been fucking taking over social media for the last couple weeks. I love his belt buckle.
The stories like, oh, I met this woman, and you know. Yeah, sugar daddy. Beers.
Well, I'm in love with the beautiful gal. That's what's the matter with
PBJ follow up.
I'm in love with the beautiful gal, but she don't care about me. Lord, I try not to die, but she just
Alexa, can you yodel?
Yodel deedle doodle dow? Deedle daddle dodel dum.
There she is. She did it.
Alexa, can you yodel?
Yodel deedle doodle dow? Deedle daddle dodel dum.
Yodel daddle doodle daddle do. Yodel daddle loo.
Yeah.